For the benefit of our recording and our online, we are doing a series entitled The Forgotten Way, and today's message is entitled Surrender. And before we began a moment ago, I played the old hymn that many of you heard at least 1,000 times during invitation at churches, I Surrender All, and we played the song. And then the discussion question was, write a brief summary, a sentence or two, that describes your former belief about what it means to deny yourself daily or surrender. What does it mean to surrender all or die daily? So I'm interested in hearing a few of your brief summaries.
When you're saying former belief, do you mean before we are trying to understand grace or message today?
Before grace.
Okay. Before grace, so under legalistic teaching, I always felt like that ultimately to really get to that point, it would mean having no possessions, time, thoughts, or feelings of my own, and all would be for the church / God, because under that teaching, they're one of the same.
I'll bet you're going to have a lot that have the same comment. Anybody else?
Just real short. We had to do things to make it look like we were following his law and such, and that we had to do things, but that it wasn't all, we were helping God.
Okay, had to help God out. Yes. Okay, somebody else?
What I noticed in mine, this sounds similar to what I heard everyone else saying, but it hit me when I finished. The more the focus was on doing for God, and as Tim said, making it look like we were doing for God, I realized the focus was really on me. It wasn't on God.
Okay. All right.
Give up your own plans, desires, and pleasure. The world is sinful, and we should be separate from it.
Well, it's all about I. I will love him. I will give up for him. I will surrender for him. It's all about, am I doing enough to make God happy with
it? Anybody over here?
So when I was like 5 years old, I was living in South Georgia, and I was selling pictures of Jesus. My grandmother told me she would buy 3 pictures from me. They were like little pictures of the Last Supper and stuff like that in little plastic frames. If I would give 10%, you know, if I would tithe to the church. And I didn't even know what that meant, but I said, sure. And so I didn't give anything to the church, and my mother found out about it. Of course, there were only like 50 people in the whole place, so, you know. And I felt so condemned and ashamed, and like I lived with that for years. It was like I couldn't do enough to gain his approval. You know, I didn't deserve anything. And you know what? I don't. And it took me years and years to understand that that's why I'm a Christian, is because I need my Savior. And I feel just fine.
All right. All right, I want to take a moment and show you this song on the screen and make just a few comments. So y'all have already pretty much made them. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. As it's been stated, you notice that the focus is on what we do. It's on us. And in this case, I will give him everything. I will love and trust him. And then you notice on the tail end of the caboose, it says, now I can be in his presence. That's kind of what's implied there. You see, you're in his presence before you do a thing. All right? Okay? Then look at this slide two. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. In other words, if I forsake worldly pleasures, I serve him, I do all that I need to do, now Jesus will take me. Did you see that? Take me, Jesus. It's almost like we're begging God to take us in. Now look at our works. Look at what we're doing for you. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll love me. Hey, before you were ever born, Jesus took you at the cross. Actually, it was in the mind of God before the cross, before the world was ever created, so you were already taken. Remember, we've said if it's in the mind of God, it's just as good as done, right? So anyway, there's nothing you can do to cause God to untake you. I don't think that's a word, but it fits, all right? Look at the next slide. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. I had to think about these words and, well, what is he saying here? But may thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. Well, once you surrender, you can then be wholly, wholly accepted by the Father. Folks, once again, Ephesians 1:6 says that you were accepted not because you surrender, but because of Jesus Christ and what he's done. So I'm accepted in him apart from my surrender. May your Holy Spirit fill me. May I know your power divine. I don't see anything wrong with this part because the Holy Spirit does have to open our eyes. And he's saying, may I grow in the understanding of the divine power that is within me. I think that's okay. Okay? Once again, what you and I were raised under falls way short of really understanding our true identity in Christ. It falls way short of teaching us who the Father is. You see, we see the Father is somebody, something we've got to do. We've got to surrender. We've got to give up all of our worldly desires before he will ever come and bless us. It's a picture of the law system, if you will. Now, well, preacher, what about Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24? If we could see those two verses. Then he said, talking about Jesus, to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Let's talk about let him deny himself. Now, Ted Decker in the book, The Forgotten Way, does an awesome job of planning. He got me thinking, and I'm going to tell you some things the Holy Spirit told me beyond, but here's what he said, which was awesome. He said, which self am I supposed to deny? Am I supposed to deny the one that is complete in Christ? Am I supposed to deny the one that is seated in heaven already? You know, the Bible says we've been seated with Christ. Am I supposed to deny that self? Am I supposed to deny the self that is in union with the Father, that's one with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If anyone desires to come after me, by the way, you got to deny self, right? So is that the self we're supposed to deny? I don't think so. Well, let's see, what do you think he is saying? The self that we are to deny, I've just listed a few. We could add on to these, but maybe we need to deny the self that thinks he can earn salvation. The old self that thinks he can gain God's favor with works. Maybe we need to deny the old self that thinks he has to beg God for forgiveness. Maybe we need to deny the self that thinks he's still under the old covenant. What you think? It hit me during this study that Jesus is saying to deny the law self. I believe the law is synonymous with the self that's presented here. Now, before you disagree with me, hang with me just a second. Let me give an example. The church has taught us, surrender worldly pleasures. Now Jesus will take me. What is that a picture of? I've got to do something before God's going to do something. What is that a picture of? That's the old covenant. The old covenant says, if I do my part, God's gonna do his part. What a picture of the law. The law is a picture of self-effort. Do you think Jesus might have been talking about deny that self? Alright, back up one slide, Deanna. I just had a thought. The last part of the verse 24 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. You see, the natural says to work hard, to serve, and to do all these things so that we can earn salvation. And Jesus gives the answer right here. He said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In other words, if we'll deny that self that thinks he can do it, that self-effort, we deny all of that, we lose what we think this world says, and what human understanding says, then, you see, we can be saved. Isn't that cool? Let me give you another example. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon means money. I believe money represents the world system. And it hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday as I was pondering this message. that money is a picture of the law. Now, I want you to think about this a second. Think about the world economy, money. It's a bartering system, right? Or you pay something to get something in return. Question, what is that a picture of? Law or grace?
Law.
Isn't that cool? I could be way off base, but I like it. All right. Hey, I must give money to receive what I want. I will give service. I will surrender my all. I'll deny worldly pleasure so God will take me. I believe that's why he said you can't serve God and money or the world system. Folks, you can do nothing. Can I say that again? You can do nothing to enter the presence of God. You can do nothing to gain your access to the presence of God. Jesus has done it all. Will you by faith believe it and just surrender that old self, if you will? I believe we need to deny self-thinking, self-effort. That's the self we need to deny. Well, what about the part, preacher, where it says, take up your cross daily and follow me? How many have ever heard the phrase, well, we all have our crosses to bear? Anybody? I believe that that could be a spinoff from this particular passage. I don't know that. It just, once again, this whole message is just causing me to think about what I used to think and what I used to believe. Well, to take up your cross daily and follow me, that means we all have our burdens, our crosses to bear, right? We all have our crosses to bear. How many of you thought the Christian life was kind of like this? Okay, we're going to pick up our cross daily. In other words, Jesus had to bear his cross. Now we've got to do the same thing. Isn't that what that means? Take up your cross daily, or I've got my crosses to bear. So when we come upon a tough situation in life, and you'll hear preachers say, and I used to hear, well, you just got to suck it up. You just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, you know, we all got our crosses to bear. You know, just get through it and do the best you can. And pray, by the way, pray God will come and help you. So Jesus will come over here and he'll take the weight off a little bit. But, you know, we're just barely getting through life. Is that a picture of the Christian life just a little bit that you used to be under? Did you know the teachers of the law, Jesus accused them of the same thing? They said, take up your cross to people, and it put a heavy burden upon them. And you'll see that in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. You see, we want to put people, that's what the law system does. When you teach, it's all about what you do. It's all about what you can accomplish. Oh yeah, and we are asking God to help us. Folks, that falls way short. And folks, I'm telling you that if you've got the mentality that I've just got my burdens to bear, that falls way short of what Jesus said. I love Matthew 11:28. Y'all knew I was going there, didn't you? He said, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, you were never meant to carry the burdens that come upon you. You were never meant to carry the burdens that churches put on you and preachers put on you. You were never meant to carry those burdens that the world and ungodly people put on you. People that hurt you and they are in sin and do acts of unkindness and you're the recipient of it and it causes you pain. Folks, I'm telling you, I believe it's 1 Peter says to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He doesn't want you carrying that cross. I believe when it says take up your cross and follow me is that you need to realize that Christ took up your cross already, and now you walk in the shadow of his cross, his burden, realizing that you're in Christ and he's right there with you, that he never ever wants you to be burdened. He never ever wants you to feel like you're separated from him. He never ever wants you to think that you're out there all alone, that nobody cares. That's what the devil will tell you. But he's right there. Even when you can't see him working, say, preacher, it's easy for you to talk that. You don't know what I'm going through. I imagine I've gone through some things just as tough as you're going through right now. And I certainly didn't handle it well either. But I did get my head screwed on straight in the midst of a lot of it. And I said, you know what, Lord? Keith, you know, he's there. I don't mean to bring up memories, but they didn't lose. They know where she's at. Their 16-year-old daughter was killed, my little niece. And Keith told me, he said, I had to tell Sharon, he said, if we've ever trusted God, now's the time. And I'm telling you, some of you may be right there. That you say, I can't see God working. I don't understand this. I prayed for this. I prayed for that. I believed. I've had faith. I've done all I know to do. But nothing is changing. Friends, may the Holy Spirit just sweep across your heart and mind right now for you to know that He's right there. He hadn't forgotten you. That He loves you. You keep resting. Labor. The Hebrew writer said, labor to enter Christ's rest. Labor to get under the shadow of the cross and lay that old cross down that you think you've got to tote. And let the Holy Spirit work powerfully. If we could see that next slide, it's basically the same one before. It says, write a short summary, a few sentences. You see, I gave you a little more leeway here. A few sentences, okay. That describe your current belief about what it means to deny yourself, take up your cross, or surrender. So let's contrast what we thought it meant. Now, what do you think it means now? And I'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
I was looking at it, and truly, everything I used to think about with denying yourself, it used to be something hard. Ricky and I were talking about it. It was never something you wanted to do. You had to be quiet and alone and pray for 3 hours and just be isolated and everything about it. I'm just like, nope, don't want to deny myself. Don't want to do that. Not fun. But now, in light of grace and everything that I've been taught, it's just as plain as day. Deny all everything, you know, the old self that wanted to cling to self-effort and what you have to do. Deny that self. Put that on the cross, crucify that, and follow Jesus.
Wow. Cool. Someone else?
We had that that you get your new identity in Christ by letting the Lord lead you and by resting in Him and listening for His directions and not to be led by our guilt or our needs to impress others. And the Lord's will be done, and we will follow and surrender all your heart, your time, and pray for His guidance. And that should do.
I was really struggling with this, honestly, until we started discussing it. And I think it's starting to make sense to me. But I went back in Luke and read just before this scripture is actually where Jesus predicts His death. And so to me, what that got me thinking is, okay, what does the cross signify to Jesus? And I had never pondered that. I've always thought, what does it mean to me? You know, what does it mean for Christians and all that? But so then it got me thinking, well, maybe Jesus is referring to the cross as His destiny or God's will. And so He's telling His disciples, carry God's will with you and follow me. And which would also fall into denying your own will. It's take God's will and do that. And I think that's what He's referring to carry with you daily.
Right. And by the way, what is God's will for your life? For you to work hard? And strive?
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right.
You know that.
I do. There is joy unspeakable. Oh, y'all don't want me to sing it.
One of the things that, you know, under the old covenant, you know, we were talking about like the house of mourning versus the house of laughter. And I heard this preached growing up that in Ecclesiastes it says it's better to be the house of mourning than the house of laughter. And why was that? Because their sins were supposed to be their focus. The whole purpose of the law is to reveal man's sin. Well, their sin wasn't dealt with. And I've heard that preached to me, but that doesn't belong to me because what am I mourning over now? Because the sin has been dealt with. And when I see the deny yourself, one thing I think makes me think of is in Romans 7 where Paul says that sin wars against my mind, trying to bring me back into captivity to sin. That's the old self. It's not the old nature. The old nature is dead, but the flesh is still alive. And I'm denying it. I already have my place in Christ. And it, we teach people in the church to take your eyes off of Jesus and look at self. And yet the gospel is, quit looking at self, deny that, and confess your confidence of your salvation, who is Christ.
That's right.
So I'm denying condemnation. I'm denying guilt. I'm denying shame because this has been dealt with. In Hebrews, it says the evidence that the old sacrifice was insufficient is that people still had a consciousness of sin. Well, that's true. The next obvious question is Jesus' sacrifice sufficient? And if it is, then the evidence that it's insufficient should be gone.
Yeah, that's right.
So therefore, good. If I have a consciousness of sins, it means I'm still looking at self and I'm giving it a place that of undue honor. Amen. Where my focus should be on Christ and denying self. Don't let it have control of mine. And it will rise up. How many, anybody here felt guilty this last week? It tries to come up. Now, as you learn to work on grace, you learn to deny that. And when you deny it, then what happens to it? It dies. Right there on the cross where it belongs. It's already been nailed to the cross. Right. We've already taken up the cross when we accepted Christ. So now we're just denying self. And we're just learning to walk in what God has given us.
I think about it as two lives and kind of like what he's talking about with the shore and stepping out into the river. That there is a life that the world pulls me to live and to believe. And there is the life that Jesus has for me and has intended for me to live. And so what I'm denying is the world's. And what I'm denying is a lie, because what the world is offering me is a lie. There is true life and joy and peace and love in Jesus, and that's the only place. So when I'm denying the old self, I'm not losing anything worthwhile. That to me is the way I look about it. I'm going to deny that lie that Satan's trying to feed me.
To me, today's message meant quit going to the law for justification because it's inadequate. Pick up grace and go.